I stole Dale's title as well, Business and Mission. I think that's a great title. And Dale, thank you. That was a great, I don't know where you are. Did you leave? Oh, great job with the coffee education. I should have filmed it so I could reuse it. Is that well done? I've only been in the coffee business 5 years. Dale, how many years? Oh, is it? Oh, that's right. Okay, he was going to buy a used roaster from me, which I'm glad he didn't 4 years ago, because it wasn't. I would have. Anyway, I'm glad you didn't. So I too am honored and grateful to serve to share with you this morning my experience regarding business and mission. I'm going to share a little bit about just who I am, because some of you don't know, and then I'm going to share about some of the things that I've been involved with besides just coffee, and then I'm going to show you a few slides of representing what I've talked about, and that should be enough. My wife Lois and I live in a farmhouse in Franconia, which is about 2 miles from here. It was built by my great uncle Abram Durstein, who was a pastor, builder, and farmer in 1902. Lois, my wife, is a gay man from Bally, Pennsylvania, and has been my soulmate for 35 years. She presently works as a hospice nurse part-time. Our daughter, Christy, is married to Ben Seffing. They have two daughters, Alexa and Sid, and you'll see a picture of them later. And they live in Green Lane. My daughter is a social worker for Grandview Hospital. My son, Scott, married Andrea Nolt from Lancaster, and they have a daughter, June Alice, named after her two grandmothers, living in part of our farmhouse known as the Doughty House. Now, some of you may know what that means, and if it's that important, you can ask me later. Scott was the inspiration and vision for our family business, One Village Coffee, of which Lois and I are presently owners, and I am working full-time with. After graduating from Christopher Dock and Eastern Mennonite University, I pursued a degree in respiratory therapy from the University of Chicago Hospital and Clinics. Most of my time spent in this vocation was as a home pediatric respiratory therapist, which later led me into home healthcare sales, a vocation in there, and eventually as a part-time owner in two home healthcare businesses in the Philadelphia tri-state area, which I'm no longer involved with. Following 25 years in the field, I spent 4 years following in development work. Three of those years with Stephen's Children in Cairo, Egypt, an NGO, and 1 year in Western Africa, or Western India, with Christian Love and Action as a development person in both. The past 5 years, of course, I've spent with One Village Coffee. Two major events that impacted and helped to shape my life happened at an early age of 11. Losing my brother Dave, one of my closest friends, at his age of 15 to a vehicle accident was earth-shattering. This trauma introduced much pain and suffering to my life and to my family. This event has influenced the remainder of my life story, our journey. This life-changing experience heightened my sensitivity and awareness of others going through painful struggles and finding myself being empathizing with them. Number two would be a decision to follow Jesus at that same age. And two scriptures that continue to shape my life are Matthew 22, about loving your neighbor as yourself, and Matthew 25, about Jesus saying, I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty, you gave me a drink, stranger and you invited me in, naked and clothed me, sick and cared for me, in prison and visited me. If you see me shaking, I think I drank one too many cups of coffee this morning. Sorry. I'm a little nervous too, but it's not that so much. I always had an interest in family business. Two family entrepreneurs in business who influenced me were my uncle, Walter and Ruth Hackman, with a Bible bookstore in Allentown, and my Uncle Ernest and Aunt Verna Moyer with a hatchery in Quakertown. Due to time limitations, I will talk only about Ernest and Verna, who built a business and life story very similar to what I feel One Village Coffee values are about. I may refer One Village Coffee as OVC, so just so in case you hear that. It's not QVC, it's OVC. Verna, oh, thanks, that might help. Maybe another cup of coffee. That's good. Verna and Ernest moved to Quakertown area from the Satterton area in the 1940s. Their purpose was to start a business for job creation for an area that was somewhat depressed. The other motive for them, or reason for them moving there was a Mennonite mission outreach started by my other uncle, Linford Hackman, who then went on to be a missionary into Canada to the Native Canadians. Ernest became pastor of what is now today Rocky Ridge Mennonite Church. Moyer's Chicks over the years has helped in areas of sustainability with their hatchery contributions to other countries like Puerto Rico, Nicaragua, and since have been used as consultants in other countries for their agricultural knowledge. But perhaps Ernest and Verna's greatest impact was their love for their local community, shown through years of women's Bible studies and programs for the children in their community, including the start of Quakertown Christian School. Having attended Verna, my aunt's funeral just last Sunday, and hearing countless testimonies from neighbors in the community who were recipients of her great love and outreach was somewhat overwhelming. Like Apostle Paul in the New Testament, I believe business, such as his tent making with his missions, go hand in hand and is a very good example for each of us today. 27 years ago, Lois and I helped start Hopewell Mennonite Church in our living room, where we made lasting friends, one family of which is a Nigerian family, Menike and Chidi Ukazim, who came to the church after we started meeting at Penview, the old Penview Christian School. Menike has been and is still my weekly prayer partner of more than 25 years. Friday morning, if you come to the Heritage, you can join us. You'll see us all the way back in the corner. It was through this relationship, after multiple trips to Nigeria, that our son Scott birthed our current family business, One Village Coffee. Our business has also been influenced by a third-party certification called the B Corporation, of which we are certified by. The B Corporation is about using the power of business to give back to the community. Take proper care of your team members or employees, and also take care and be responsible in regards to our environment today. All three of these are extremely important, but today I just want to focus about giving back to the community. Our greatest desire as OVC is to see undersourced communities that we have relationship with become self-sustained. One of the purposes of OVC is to help villages where we have relationships in regard to helping them become self-sustained. In OVC's first year of engagement, with little money, we were able to reach out through Mama Project and deworm thousands of children. Last month in Honduras, for every Honduran bag that was sold, that 50 cents went to deworm children. And just last month, One Village Coffee sponsored my wife, Lois, and I to go with Mama Project on a medical mission trip with two doctors, dentists, 15 nurses to the mountains in Honduras, where we saw four villages, 480 people. I have pictures of teeth being pulled out, but I won't show you them. People go, One of the purposes of OVC is to help villages, like I said, with relationship. I'm sorry. OVC has helped several villages in Nigeria as well with construction projects and have been involved in development of coffee, water, education, and agricultural things, resulting in the creation of jobs as well. Also in Nigeria, we have helped with education of the coffee farmers, of which I took an expert with me 4 years ago, and as a result, actually was called to the governor's mansion or house to discuss. We educated probably two-thirds of the coffee farmers in Nigeria, which coffee in Nigeria is just up and coming. We don't have any coffee from there yet. It takes a while, especially with them, to get it to a place of, what'd you call it, Dale? World class, thank you. Okay. We gift coffee monthly to the homeless organization called Chosen 300 in Philly, which many of you know about and are involved as well. I've been on the board there for close to 15 years. They feed 100,000 meals here and feed 20,000 pounds of food to seven countries around the world, Nigeria being one of them, which I introduced them to. Four villages there are receiving food. For OVC, the goal is to develop relations, loving your neighbor as yourself, with villagers here and abroad, in our village here and abroad, where there is a need of fulfilling the scripture of Matthew 25 that I read, helping to develop sustainability and leave the power to shape the future in the hands of the nationals. That's key, to improve their community with business, to elevate their living standards and creating a better future for them and their future generations. When sharing God's love in this way, it puts us in a posture for verbal exchange about relationship with Jesus. So this is our takeaway to me as well as you and our churches, to follow Jesus' model of prayer, which sharpens our dependency and direction given by the Holy Spirit. This then leads to transformation, which creates a desire to do the will of the Father. Notice, it creates a desire in us to do the will of the Father. Loving our neighbor as ourself, fulfilling the Matthew 25 verses of feeding, clothing, visiting, meeting with the lonely, whatever is needed, with our genuine heart desire to help. Okay, let's... thank you. Okay, this is a slide of my wife, Lois, probably figured that out. And this is my daughter, Christy, Ben, and Sydney, and Alexa. And I just have a daughter and a son, which I think you've probably figured out, too. You can go to the next. And this is Scott, which I know a lot of you know. I actually have to pick up a book from him, from Emily, on the way out. And Andrea and June, Alice. And then this is a roaster. It's not a real good picture. We have a 50-pound roaster. We started with a 5-pound in our basement 5 years ago and graduated to a 50-pound. The warehouse is down here on Castle and Schoolhouse Road. And you're more than welcome, like seriously, to set up a time if you want. It only takes 10 minutes, but you get the full effect of what's actually happening. And you can stay longer if you want and have a cup of coffee. Okay. This is Nigeria in the south where Amenike's village is. We were able, what these women are doing is stirring up a brew of cassava. Nigeria is the largest consumer of cassava in the world. Actually, it's a root and it started in South America, but it's really taken off in Africa. And so there's 600 widows in this village, well, not just this village, in about four villages there. And the widows really didn't have anything to do. So come up with this idea to have them grow cassava and grind it you can go to the next picture, into Gary and sell it. This is the grinder. It's a generator, and you can see the belt over here turning the grinder. So that's one thing that we've been involved with. You can go ahead to the next one. These are some of the farmers. I actually took enough shirts for not everybody from one village. And this is Bala, the president of InterVarsity for Nigeria. He's pretty much the ringleader for the farmers. And anyway, yeah, he's been to our home a number of times. And that's what, when Scott got the idea to start this, was when he was sitting in our living room one Christmas telling us that he doesn't get paid every month. So that, and Scott was looking for a social business to do, and so everything kind of came together. All right. And this is just over there in that village playing. We dedicated or gave this soccer ball to these guys that were out there, and they just were, well, they were playing soccer, but to get a new ball like this was like getting a Cadillac or getting a Mercedes or whatever. So anyway, go ahead. And now this is India, jumping over to India, where I spent a year of development work. This is Reverend Padali. He's went to seminary over in India. He's 77 today, but he felt called to go up to the villages, the tribal villages, all the way up in Gujarat. Is that how you say it? Gujarat. And so he went up there with this motorcycle with a generator and showed the Jesus film and a reel-to-reel film. And he thought, he went through five of those films. He thought probably 50,000 people came to Christ with each of those films. Anyway, he started 75 churches. I went over with a team from a lot of them from Franconia Mennonite Church, and we took money. We didn't build the churches, but there's so many churches that just meet outside, which you'll see maybe on the next slide. Well, this is one where they were going to build a church. And this is Reverend Padali again. Here's how a lot of the churches meet outside with a canopy. And so we supplied monies for two churches to be built. Okay. Oh, and this is the baptism. It was beautiful. I think there was like 15 people that were getting baptized that day. All right. And then this is Egypt. I spent three years as a development person with Mama Maggie. She's the founder of Stephen's Children 30 years ago. Professor at the American University there, was called to help the children that live off of garbage in the desert. And you can, I don't know if you can see how dirty this foot is or not, but she's a servant, kind of a mother of mercy. Her name actually, I mean, a lot of people refer to her as the Mother Teresa of the Middle East. I was able, or part of my job was to get her nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, which I did 3 years in a row, but Sophia, she'll probably eventually get it because the committee from the Nobel Peace Prize has to nominate you, so she'll probably get there somewhere. Okay, next. This is a normal house in the desert. They use whatever they can to build a house. It's pretty, as you can see, very primitive. But the people are wonderful. She actually started 75 schools, reaching out, helping 80,000 students get an education that wouldn't have gotten one that live in these areas. There's 5 million people that live out here, about the size of Philadelphia, and she reaches out to about 200,000 of them. Okay. This is the way they get their sustenance. They go into the, takes 5 hours to get into Cairo with their donkey, and some of them are just wooden wheeled carts. And they go, you know, they leave at 5 in the afternoon usually, get in there midnight, and then have the stuff out there by the morning. If it's not in the garbage, you don't got it. You don't get it. It's a sobering thought. Okay. This is Honduras just 3 weeks ago, a team that went on the medical mission trip. This is Airman Sajastumi, Dr. Sajastumi, that's the director of MAMA Project, and a lot of the about 12 of these people are from Moravian College nursing students. Okay, and this is him in action up in one of the villages that we set up in a school, the clinic. All right, this is what I would, even though I'm a respiratory therapist, the nurses can take care of all that. I was on the crew of concreting floors, ground floors. These are houses of 12 by 15 could be the house, or maybe they have a couple side rooms. But the worms come up through the ground as they lay on the ground and get into their skin, small microscopic hookworms, make their way to the stomach and take all the nutrition, or a lot of the nutrition. So getting a concrete floor is like, again, it would take all year. They told me it would take the salary of the people that live here all year without getting anything else to do what we did in 2.5 hours to concrete their floor. And they're just so thankful. Okay. This is the farmers. I also snuck off and went to the farms where we get our coffee, in fact. This one here is directly from Huardo's farm, and this is his brother. He runs a co-op of 900 farms. Huardo's farm is where we're at right here. Is the his mill, which you saw the mill from Dale's slide. Really nice farmers. Okay. All right. And this is coffee. Here's the blossom of a coffee, which you don't often see, or I haven't anyway. And then the green before it turns red. And then I just wanted to talk about a couple things that we do. Whole food markets, I don't know how many of you know of whole food markets, but it's one of our bigger clients. And we partner with them to reach out to the communities that they're in. And this is a beautiful brew from South Street Whole Foods. And a child, underprivileged child, actually did this painting, which is awesome. And so 50 cents, I believe it is, of every bag goes to buy like art supplies. We have another one that's helping, that we partnered with, if you want to, you can share that around if you want, that we partnered with right next to the Barnes Center that's going in. It's right there at the art museum. And again, we partnered with them to, some of the money's going to the Barnes Museum. This, on the other hand, is Red Bank Roast. We named it Red Bank Roast. It's part of the Red Bank store. I mean, it goes with the Red Bank Whole Foods store. And it's for bee, we're partnering with them to help the bee industry in South Jersey. So, yeah, we found that helpful to also give back in the communities we are doing business with. So, yeah, you can, I don't know if people want to see that. This is our logo. It's a village inside of a cup of coffee. Maybe some of you figured that out. And I don't know if there's anything else to tell you, but we'd be glad to have you come visit us sometime. If you have any questions, should I take questions now? Or?
Sure.
I would highly recommend MAMA Project as a trip. You do see coffee. When you go there, but I mean, that's not important. What's important is they're doing such a great work of helping the communities that are way up there that don't ever see or very rarely would see doctors and nurses. So, and you don't have to be a doctor or nurse. You can do the concreting. Okay.
What questions do you have for Steve or for Dale? Or for each other? What did this stir in you?
Yeah, I went to Moravian Seminary, and there were a couple of Nepal students there. and I know they were experiencing some turmoil politically, and I had a friend who was there in Kathmandu, and he had some issues going through there. Are you affected by any of that?
In 2008, there was a commission appointed to draft a new constitution, and 4 deadlines and 4 years later, the new constitution still has not been drafted. The deadline was like the 27th of May. So when that deadline came and went, people are naturally very dissatisfied because 4 years and 4 deadlines and $65 million later, there's still no constitution for the country. So yeah, people, I don't know. They've said now there'll be general elections in the country in November, but obviously people are very disenchanted with the political system there, and as we would naturally be also, but that's the situation. People often ask about political stability in Nepal. It generally goes from sort of so-so to pretty bad. That's just part of the landscape there, and I think that's part of the long-term prognosis.
How are the Christians?
Yeah.
How are the Christians treated by the government?
How are the Christians treated by government?
Yes.
I could ask my friend S.P. Kalanpali. He could respond to that.
Thank you. My name is S. from Nepal. I'm a student at Eastern University. I'm based here at the moment. We came 6 months ago, I and my wife, Arpana.
Just a bit, the microphone doesn't amplify our voices. It's so that people can hear it on the podcast.
Thank you. I think you need to stand up. My name is S.P. Coloni, my wife Arpana, and I are based here in Norristown at the moment. I'm studying at Eastern University. We came 6 months ago. To your question, how Christians are treated by the government. The situation is changing at the moment with the political change, I would say. It used to be a very difficult situation. Nepal was the only Hindu kingdom in the world up until 5 years ago. And there was a lot of persecution against Christians, and many of our leaders would have been put in jail, and a lot of torture. It is a lot better compared to in the past, because with this monarchy overthrown and the country being declared a republic, it was also declared a secular state. So it's no longer a Hindu kingdom now. However, it takes a lot of time, I think, to change the mentality of people. So people come from the same old mentality, and you are not looked upon as you're looked down upon as a Christians normally. I worked for a Christian organization. We had healthcare education projects running in the country, and had opportunity to work with the government in a close relationship. We had partnership with the government, and we experienced that sort of ill feeling towards Christians. Although we're very thankful to God that the situation is changing now, God helped us to help other people in the community, and the community has been very supportive, and now government acknowledges the work of the Christian community in Nepal. Which is a very positive direction. So hopefully it will continue to become better in the future. But still not very easy. I'm the first Christian in my family, so we still have that kind of difficulty living in the community. But it's not as difficult as it used to be, like you had to be exiled from the village. It's not like that anymore. Many people are coming to Christ. The church is growing very fast, which is very encouraging. I'm not sure if I responded to your question.
Very good, thank you.
Thank you.
My Mike, I wonder if I could invite you to say just a few words about what you're getting involved in. Kathy Yoder shared a little bit with me before breakfast, and I'd really like to hear Mike share a bit. She didn't turn the microphone back.
Okay. Hi, my name is Mike Lear, and I'm from the Quakertown area. I'm actually a member of Quakertown United Methodist Church. I also work as an architect, but on the side, we've been developing a coffee house project for downtown Quakertown. This was just a vision and mission that it got sort of put on my heart a couple years ago that we've been working towards quite hard over the last few years. But the concept was originally to create a third place in Quakertown, a place where people could gather that really doesn't exist right now in the downtown. The concept of coffee actually came about later as kind of a means, the product to provide, to draw people to the area, kind of a modern day well, if you will. What we've been doing is actually partnering with local churches in Quakertown to bring this vision to fruition. We've had enormous success just partnering with local organizations. The Quakertown Borough has been very supportive, along with the Quakertown Alive, which is the local revitalization Main Streets group that has been working over the last number of years to bring revitalization through the downtown area. So we see this as really accomplishing two things, obviously serving a spiritual need, because it's our desire to reach those that we're not yet reaching in our churches. But it's also a real need in the community to provide a space where people can gather to provide coffee, and but also atmosphere for people to come together. We've also seen this as a way to connect with other local nonprofits and organizations, such as there's a hubbub group that meets in Quakertown, groups within Bucks County that are social workers serving other needs. But we see this as a way to really connect with people in a broad range of areas. The need really is great. So I appreciate the opportunity to share with you a little bit about it. If you're interested, I can chat with you a little bit more afterwards. We're in the process of raising funds right now for startup costs and assessing properties so that we can find the right location in downtown Quakertown.
And I should note, they will be serving One Village Coffee.